Let's look in Matthew chapter 1. We're going to start there real quick in verses 22 and 23. Over the last 3 weeks, I've been preaching, and this will be closing out our series called Emmanuel, talking about God being with us. And in the first week, we talked about a light that has come from outside the world to bring, to illuminate and to get rid of the darkness and to give us hope. And then the following week, we began to discuss the lineage and the genealogy of Jesus and who he was and why it's important and how outsiders have been welcomed into the family of God. Aren't you grateful that God welcomed the outsiders into his family? Amen? But today I want to talk about Emmanuel, God with us, this morning. Verse 22 in Matthew, it says this, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." There are many names given to Jesus in the Bible, and each one gives us a clearer and more complete picture of who he is and what he means to us. His name Jesus means God saves. He is God's salvation for us. He is the Messiah, the Christ, meaning the anointed one. He is our King. He is our Lord. Another name given is the one we're going to look at today, which is Emmanuel, which means God with us. That is his desire. He wants to be with us, not separated from us. When God created Adam and Eve, he was with them in the Garden of Eden. He walks with them in the beginning, and he communes with them. Until one day, Adam and Eve hide from God because they had sinned. See, God did not hide from man. Man hid from God. Because man is the one who's guilty. They disobeyed. They sinned against God. And God was the one calling out to Adam, calling out to Eve. In Genesis 3:9, he begins to call out and he says to them, he says, "Where are you? I'm looking for you. I'm seeking you." You know, one could contend that God is still calling that out to us today. Where are you? I'm looking for you. See, God is, the message of the Bible is not about the desire of man to be with God. It's all about God's desire to be with man. Moses tells the people in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, he says this, "If you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul." That God is expressing his father heart to us, that he desires above everything else to be with us. I've had the privilege of being able to travel a little bit in my life. And I've been able to go to many different places, oftentimes long distances. And the one thing that stands out to me every time I travel is that when I'm away from home, the only thing I want to do is be back home with my family. It reminds me of a story I heard once, it goes like this, a pastor was once traveling on board a plane, and a businessman sat beside him with a laptop switched on, and I've been in this situation many times in my life, and you always sit there begging them not to ask you the question, "What do you do?" I get that question on planes all the time, "What do you do for a living?" And then as soon as I tell them I'm a pastor, it's kind of like the cannibal has just invited you for lunch. That's how they just begin to treat you, you know? They don't want to talk, right? But he sat beside this man. The laptop switched on. The screensaver was the picture of a little boy. And the pastor got to know that this was his son. It was his only child. And it was taken 3 months earlier when the boy was 11 months old. And the businessman went on to talk about his son with great excitement. He talked about his first steps and about his first words. He showed the pastor pictures of the boy on his mobile phone and then more pictures from the computer. He displayed them one at a time with great care, giving commentary to each picture that he showed. And the pastor, truthfully, was beginning to get bored. Some of the pictures were quite ordinary. And the man said, "I can't wait to get home to him. In the meantime, I could look at these pictures many times a day. They never get old to me." And the pastor was getting kind of tired, actually. And why was this man so preoccupied with this boy? Was it because the boy's achievements were so incredibly impressive? Absolutely not. Millions of children at his age learned to do the same thing. In fact, the pastor felt that his own boy probably looked cuter and was probably better at things. And of course, he doesn't say that out loud, right? The man was so excited about the child because he looked at him through the eyes of a father. Everything the boy did was seen with wonder and joy. It did not matter that the other children do the same things. This man said, that's my boy. That's my son. That's my child. And the pastor said, you obviously miss your son. How long ago did you leave home? And the man says, yesterday. One day away from his son was one day too many. This man wanted to get home fast. He wanted to be with his boy. He did not want to love his son from a distance. He wanted to be with him. See, this is the Father's heart. This is our Heavenly Father's heart for you today. The tiniest details of our lives never grow old to him. The Bible says in Matthew 10, chapter or verse 30, it says, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. That's how precious you are to him. That's how much he cares for you. That's how much he loves you. God says, I am with you. And this is God's most frequent promise in Scripture, is that I'm with you. He was with Adam and Eve in the garden. In Genesis 5, we read, in Genesis 5:22, it says this, Enoch walked with God. See, God made the same promise to Noah, to Abraham and Sarah, and to Jacob and Joseph and Moses and David and Mary and all his disciples, on to Paul, and the list goes on. And when God asked Moses to go back to Egypt and free his people, Moses was hesitant, but the Lord said, I will be with you, and God was with him there. When they entered the desert, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22, it says, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. God was faithful. He was there every step of the way. When Joshua took over leadership of the Israelites, he was younger and inexperienced. But the Lord said to him in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. Jesus' last words with all his disciples after giving them the Great Commission were, surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Are you guys catching a theme of God's desire? See, this is God's promise to us today. This is what we celebrate at this Christmas time. It's this, Emmanuel, God is with us. And by the way, God is for us. See, Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit who now dwells in our hearts. And wherever we are, he is there with us. God is with you all the time. You may not feel his presence, but that doesn't make it any less true. No one in this life can say he is abandoned. God will never abandon you. You know, oftentimes I hear people say to me, Pastor James, I just don't see God anywhere. I don't sense God anywhere. Have you ever been? Who's honest enough? I've been there. Been in a place where you can say, God, where are you? God, where are you? I don't see you. Where are you? Can I tell you something with love in my heart? Here's what the Lord showed me. Whenever I find my place, myself in a position where I don't feel like I can see God in anything and I don't know where he is, it's not him who moved, it's me. He is the anchor point. He is the tether. And when I drift, and usually what that means is maybe I've gotten a little bit into my own self. Anybody ever gotten selfish before? Or I'm the only non-spiritual one here who's gotten selfish before. Maybe I've gotten a little too self-involved. Maybe I find myself in a position where all I see are my own feelings and my own problems and what I'm going through. And instead of having my eyes up and looking at him, I'm more concerned about what's going on in my life, in my hurt, in my pain, in my struggle. Not realizing that if I get my eyes off myself, that healing is waiting right there. And if the Bible be true, then he is with us every place we go. Amen? See, it's his greatest desire. We can't say we're abandoned in life. God will not abandon us. And here's the thing that amazes me is you don't have to face anything by yourself. We try to carry too much by ourselves, don't we? And you don't have to face anything by yourself. That's why he is there. You can invite him into any situation in your life and he'll show up. Now listen, I want to tell you guys something. If you want to walk on your own, you can. Good luck. Good luck. You can do it on your own. I'm going to tell you right now, it's probably not going to work out the way you think it's going to work out. You need somebody who knows the way. You need somebody who's been there before. You're not strong enough. You're not big enough. You're not talented enough. You're not charismatic enough. You need the direction and the leading of the Holy Spirit to guide us. You can try to do it on your own, but here's the wonderful news. You don't have to. You can invite him into your situation each time you pray. You can choose to walk with him every single day of this year that's coming. In tough times, when you lose your job or you face financial difficulties, I want you to know the Lord is still there with you. David says in Psalms chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, he says, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble." I'm going to tell you, the day of trouble is not the day you want to be alone. The day of trouble is the day you want to run to the stronghold. Amen? "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." Psalm 23:4 says this, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why will I fear no evil? Simple, because you are with me. See, when I walk alone, I fear everything. But when I walk with him and I understand that he is with me, I fear nothing. Amen? See, the man who fears God will fear nothing else. Bible, Paul would even say, "What can you do to me? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." There's nothing I fear because God is already with me. There's nothing you can do to me. How would you like to live life with that type of courage? Amen? It starts with understanding that he is with us. If he is Emmanuel, it means you could never be alone. God is with you all the time. God is very determined to stay with you and to be your champion through life. And the big question comes to this is, are you willing to let him? God will respect you. God will not override your free will. He will not enforce himself into your life. He is not going to kick the door in. There has to be an invitation. See, God gave us this wonderful little thing which caused so much trouble in the earth called free will. How many of you know free will has led us into some dangerous places before? Amen? God wanted people who would choose him freely. He must have thought it was worth the price. Amen? God will respect you. Not everyone loves the presence of God. Some would prefer to walk their own way. Others are simply not interested. I've used this analogy before. I've used this a couple times before, but I fear it bears repeating. There's a brilliant picture that you can find called The Creation of Adam that was done by somebody named Michelangelo. You ever heard of him? Apparently he's famous, this Michelangelo guy. Thousands line up for hours at the Vatican to view this painting of God and Adam on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. And if you look carefully at the painting, you see that the figure of God is extended toward man. He's reaching out toward man with great effort. You see that you can even look at the picture and see the effort in God as he reaches. He twists his body to move it as close to the man as possible. His head is turned toward the man. His gaze is fixed on him. God's arm is stretched out, his finger extended straight forward, reaching out to the man. And you can sense God's great desire to close the gap between himself and this man. He can't wait. There's an enthusiasm. His hand comes within a few inches of the man's hand. And apparently Michelangelo wanted to express God's determination to reach out and be with the person he has created. God is as close as he can be. But having come that close, he allows just a little space so that Adam can choose. So that Adam can make a decision. He waits for Adam to make his move. And then you look at the picture of Adam, the man, his body reclined in a lazy pose, leaning backward as if he has no interest at all in making a connection. His arm is partially extended toward God, and all he would have to do is lift his finger. But he looks indifferent. He looks uninterested. See, Michelangelo wanted to make a point. It is not that man loves God and seeks him. God loves man and seeks him. God is the one making the effort, and Christmas proves it. Amen? This is God's desire. He wants you to draw near to him. And Michelle, would you come? We're going to close in just a moment. He wants you to draw near to him. He's done everything he can do. He's closed as much distance as he could close. He sent Jesus from his throne so that he could be with us. This is what we celebrate as Christmas. It's God's attempt to be with us. He's covered all the distance he can cover, and now he's just waiting for us to just extend and close the gap of that last little bit. This is God's desire. He wants you to draw near to him. The question is, will you? Will you? See, God is closer than we think. He is never further than a prayer away. In every moment, even right now when we pray, he hears us. He is right here. Pray and he is right there listening. Speak and he hangs on your every word. It's amazing to me that God will even hang on every word of our complaints, our gripes, our accusations against him. God will stay with us even when we accuse him as being the source for all of our problems. How many of you know somebody like that that will stay with you no matter what? There's not many in this world that'll do that. We have treated him poorly. We have treated him badly. We have treated him oftentimes with great indifference. Yet there he waits. Unyielding, unrelenting in his desire to be with us. In our brokenness, in our perfections, in our rejections, in our hurts, in our joys. When we feel distant from God, he didn't move. We moved. When we feel distant from God, he didn't take his focus off of us. We took our focus off of him. The Lord says to the church in Revelation and Laodicea, Revelation 3, 19 and 20. It says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will eat with them and he with me. And Jesus was talking to believers in the church. They had left him outside their ministry. They had left him on the outside of their life. They had left him on the outside of their business and their groups and their social standings. They had left him on the outside, and he says, and I'm still out there and I'm still knocking. And all you have to do is open the door. And I'll come in. And I'll live with you, and I'll be with you, and I'll abide with you, and I'll heal your hurts, and I'll bind up your wounds, and I'll take the damage that you've created, and I'll clean it back up. You know, it's like the real reason I asked them to leave this mess here is because sometimes God gives us a bunch of gifts, and we just make a mess out of it. But he's always so faithful to come back behind us and pick up the pieces and to put things back together again and to make them better than new. Amen. Quit holding on to the hurt of the past when God wants to give you a brand new future full of hope and full of life and full of joy. Listen, I'm going to tell you guys right now, there's somebody right now, the Holy Spirit just hit me like a brick, a Mack truck with this. You're so stuck in your past that you have turned everything and everybody else off who's trying to help you. I want to tell you something right now. The past is the past. There is nothing you can do about the past. You can't change it. I'm sorry it hurt. I'm sorry that you were damaged. But it's not God's fault. And by staying in that place, all you're doing is living in the ghost of a past. When God says, I have a reality of a future for you. And it'll be good. And it'll be exciting. And it'll be wonderful. And it'll bring you joy. And it'll bring you an incredible sense of fulfillment. But you've got to let, there's nothing you can do about yesterday. But what about today? What about tomorrow? What about 10 years from now? It all starts with opening a door and extending a hand to the one who's already traveled the greatest distance to be with you in the person of Jesus. Jesus is there. There's a quote that goes like this: when I'm tempted to complain about God's lack of presence, I remind myself that God has much more reason to complain about my lack of presence. In other words, I'm the one who leaves. God is always there for me. We are the ones that have gone away. We did not keep our appointment with Him. We have not been worshiping Him regularly on Sundays. We seldom talk to Him about our problems. We did not hear what He has to say to us through Scripture and through the Holy Spirit. We distance ourselves from Him because we're distracted by many things, by our work commitments, by our lifestyle. Some of these are even good things. See, the problem is not on His side, it's on our side. So remember not to leave Him out of your life. And this Christmas, I want to encourage you, don't leave Him out of His own celebration. Invite Him into His own celebration. Invite Him to His own birthday party. You know, the children's ministry did something a few weeks ago. They gave every family a celebration cake to make, right? Cake mix and things like that. And I was so encouraged to see all the families coming together and their kids baking these cakes and saying, Happy birthday, Jesus. This is a birthday celebration. Don't leave Him on the outside of His own birthday party. Invite Him in to come and be a part with what we're doing. Share your life with Him. Let Him guide you and bless you. He's still reaching out to you today, wherever you are. He's reaching out to you in church. He's reaching out to you at home. He's reaching out to you in your office, in the hospital room, in the car, at the schools, at the college universities. He's reaching out to you everywhere you are. He is at work all the time in every place, and we can face life with confidence because His name is Emmanuel, God with us, and He has not changed. See, God is a loving Father waiting for His child to come home. And my question to you is, are you home today? Are you home? Or are you still wandering on your own, unsure of where to go and what you should do? Don't let sin, don't let distance, don't let hurts from the past come between you and God. Don't let self-righteousness come between you and God. Come home and invite Jesus to be a part of your life today. Amen. Can we all stand?